It is April 13th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Registration is open for FIA's International Derivatives Expo, IDX, to be held on June 19th to 21st in London at the Park Plaza Westminster Bridge, London. The conference is moving from its recent home at the brewery and the Jug and Hare pub to a spot across the river from Big Ben. Register by May 19th to get the early bird rates. Oliver Wyman is the go-to consulting firm in the financial services space, it would seem. UBS has hired them to help it with the Credit Suisse integration. LME hired Oliver Wyman to help it figure out its problems with the nickel trading suspension, and a major clearing organization has reportedly hired them to help with a major technology overhaul that has run into cost overruns and development issues. Merricks today announced record 2022 results, citing successful execution of its growth strategy and proactive risk management. Merricks said these factors and results position it well for 2023. I hope their crystal ball is right. The U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission Office of Customer Education and Outreach, the SEC, and the CFPB are holding a one-hour webinar about spotting and avoiding financial fraud today at 2 p.m. There's a link in today's newsletter for it. Yesterday, we reported President Joe Biden signing a resolution ending emergency powers for the pandemic. In another sure sign the pandemic is over, Kelley Blue Book data showed average transaction prices for new cars fell below the manufacturer's suggested retail price, MSRP, for the first time in 20 months. Car prices had turned red hot after a pandemic-driven supply chain snag and an increased demand for cars, Reuters reported. A quant who was credited with popularizing the Mini has died. Not the E-Mini, but the miniskirt. Fashion designer Dame Mary Quant, who was widely credited with popularizing the miniskirt, has died at the age of 93, Bloomberg reported. Bloomberg is reporting that rents in Manhattan have reached a record high, even before the busy months of July to August. Some of those J.P. Morgan senior bankers who have been in the office 5 days a week now must need to get a place in the city again. The Wall Street Journal has come out with a summer reading list that they call the 14 best beach reads, even if you're not at the beach. The journal says for your summer reading enjoyment, this list offers new novels, memoirs, nonfiction, and more. I spent my afternoon yesterday at Roosevelt University at a symposium listening to senior thesis presentations from students in the Clearing Corporation Charitable Foundation Fellows Program. JLN is in negotiations to have a student in the program join the JLN team as an intern and produce content for their senior thesis for us in the form of videos. The student would start in the fall. While the students are already getting stipends from the school for the fellows program, we would still pay them for the commercial element for the work they are doing. Thus, we are looking for potential sponsors for this work. RJ O'Brien is looking to hire a new ethanol operations desk analyst in Greenwood Village, Colorado. My friend Dax P. Rodriguez is joining the advisory board at New Leaf Ventures. Former CME Group executive Timothy J. Andreessen is starting a new position as Managing Director Ag Sales at Marex. Finance Feed's Editor-in-Chief Nikolai Asayev has an exclusive A Press Boca video interview with CQG's Ryan Maroney and Kevin Darby, in which they discuss the fintech firm's recent developments. You can find the video with a link in today's newsletter. JLN also interviewed Maroney and Darby at FIAA Boca in March, and our video will be coming out soon. Recordings are now available from the Regional Roundtable North America 2023 gathering of the United Nations Environment Program Finance Initiative, UNEP-FI, held on March 1st, 2023 in Toronto. The event gathered members of the sustainable finance community to discuss and define the future of sustainable finance in North America. Watch the recordings with the link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video from our FIA Boca coverage. Amanda Hindlian of ICE talks with John Lothian News about the ICE culture for women, what's driving revenue growth, a crystal ball into SVB, and ESG products. Amanda Hindlian, president of Fixed Income and Data Services with the Intercontinental Exchange, was interviewed by John Lothian News at FIA International Futures Conference in Boca Raton, Florida. Hindlian discussed the welcoming culture of ICE for women and the fortitude she gains from being surrounded by strong women leaders at ICE like Lynn Martin, president, NYSE Group. She discussed ICE's investment in multiple trading platforms and how that is spurring growth in revenue. Watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Power Corridor. The title of the story is Locking Up Journalists, a Sign of the Times. I will never forget the first time I was locked up and interrogated as a journalist. I would go through it more than once in my career, but the first time was the hardest, and it affected the rest of my life, not just in how I felt about my work, but my overall sense of security. I was investigating human rights abuses on the Isle of Jersey, a UK crown dependency, and $2 trillion tax shelter. My comment. Here's what I believe. You can't have free markets without a free press, and you can't have a free press if journalists are being locked up. Support freedom of the press, support free markets. Here's a story from CNBC. Egg prices crashed 11% in March, and more relief may follow. Egg prices fell by 11% in March, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics said Wednesday, following a 7% decline in February and delivering relief from record high prices over the winter. The decrease is largely due to a recovering egg production and weaker consumer demand, said Brian Moscoguri, global trade strategist at Eggs Unlimited, an egg supplier. Jeff Bergstrom says, did prices crash, really? A CNBC article from a month ago, egg prices increased 70% over last year. Here's why. My comment. Egg price rally finally cracks? All right, here's another story. This one from the Financial Times. The headline is, U.S. public broadcaster NPR leaves Twitter after a spat with Elon Musk. Public broadcaster National Public Radio has decided to stop using Twitter, becoming the first big U.S. news organization to go silent on the platform a week after a state-affiliated media label was added to its account. NPR's organizational accounts will no longer be active on Twitter because the platform is taking actions that undermine our credibility by falsely implying that we are not editorially independent, Chief Executive John Lansing told staff on Wednesday. My comment, NPR does the right thing. Elon Musk is a compromised globalist. I know one when I see one. I am a bit of one myself, except I am not compromised in the same place as Mr. Musk is. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was the Chicago Tribune's obituary for Hardy Thompson Brumfield, the brother of Harris Brumfield and a former trader at the Chicago Board of Trade. Second was how Jamie Dimon became King of Wall Street from Yahoo Finance. Third was our Markets Wiki page for Harris Brumfield. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline is, the U.S. cracked a $3.4 billion crypto heist and Bitcoin's anonymity. Federal authorities are making arrests and seizing funds with the help of new tools to identify criminals through cryptocurrency transactions. James Zhang appeared to have pulled off the perfect crime. In December 2012, he stumbled upon a software bug while withdrawing money from his account on Silk Road, an online marketplace used to hide criminal dealings behind the seemingly bulletproof anonymity of blockchain transactions and the dark web. Mr. Zhang, a 22-year-old University of Georgia computer science student at the time, used the site to buy cocaine. I accidentally double-clicked the withdraw button and was shocked to discover that it resulted in allowing me to withdraw double the amount of Bitcoin I had deposited, he said later in federal court. After the first fraudulent withdrawal, Mr. Zhang created new accounts and with a few hours of work stole 50,000 Bitcoins worth around $600,000, court papers from federal prosecutors show. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. Inside the IRS's shrinking band of wealth hunters, former auditors dish on truant taxpayers, decrepit tech, and why $80 billion might not be enough to fix everything that's wrong. If you've ever met an off-duty Internal Revenue Service auditor, they probably won't admit where they work. What do you do is always a party killer, says former agent Elsie Katz. Best to keep it vague, she says, and hope that accountant is boring enough to move the conversation along to another topic. Few things make Americans more anxious than an IRS agent in their midst, even when the occasion is social rather than, say, an audit. It's the audit that inspires many people's fear of the agency, helping it poll it as the least trusted of major federal departments. Last year, when President Biden and congressional Democrats secured almost $80 billion in extra IRS funding across the next decade under the Inflation Reduction Act, it didn't take long for the agency's critics to raise the prospect of rampant nosiness, with Republican politicians claiming an army of 87,000 armed agents would soon be poking through Americans' finances. And then here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, IBM explores sale of weather business. Weather.com owner could fetch more than $1 billion in a sale. International Business Machines Corp. is exploring a sale of its weather operation, according to people familiar with the matter, as the technology company seeks to streamline its operations. An auction of the business is at an early stage, the people said, and there may not be a deal. Should there be one, private equity is most likely the buyer in a deal that could be valued at more than $1 billion, the people said. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.